All right, our opening scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. I'm not sure I have that scripture correct. I need to check. Peter, after he got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to preach and prophesy, spoke a lot of things about his life that were good for our learning from. I'm going to read it, and maybe one of you can find it very quickly, because I posted this wrong on our church website out of error too. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is right? But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. That's from the Revised Standard Edition. And I know that I don't have the correct number of the verse. But Pete, what? Oh, okay. Good. I have lots of them. But he talked about why should we be afraid as believers to testify and stand up for righteousness or right values, God's word, prayer, our walk, our relationship with Him, and the possibility exists that in some workplaces you could even perhaps lose your job over it today. That's where things have come to. But it's like, we have to come to that place where I don't really care anymore what other people think about having a relationship with the Lord. And yes, we grow out of, I don't want it to sound like a Christian cliche, but we grow from zealousness to wisdom in ways that we get to share our testimonies, the ways that we witness and tell of the work of the Lord in our lives. But nothing can take that zealousness, that zeal from our hearts. The enemy can't take anything that we're not willing to give him. Think on that. The enemy cannot steal anything out of your life but that which you're willing to give him. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but what can he take? He can take the earth suit. But the real you, the spirit man, he can never touch. And sometimes people all over the world, our brothers and sisters, are being martyred all over the world at an alarming rate now in other countries. And we're having better ways of knowing about it now than we used to. But that's always been the case. And even Peter, it's interesting that he talked about being ready to have an answer for who asks you of the hope that's within you. And I think about the night when Jesus was arrested and how Peter was one of the first ones to deny that he even knew Christ, because he didn't want to be identified with his suffering. And then yet after he gets born again and filled with the Spirit, he starts writing things like this. And how sometimes we can be persecuted for a lot of things, but for righteousness, there's no greater thing than to know that no matter what comes upon us, it was because of our stand that we weren't going to compromise. And I don't know, because I just don't know how far or to what extent I could be pushed or forced to go beyond and compromise in any way. I don't know. All I know is that I have my will made out. Faith knows what to do if I don't come home sometime from a missions trip. And I don't say that to scare you. I say it because I'm so settled in my spirit that whatever happens, it's not going to stop me. And I'm very comforted by the fact that I believe the Lord told me on an airplane flight, I'm still convinced of those words, the door will be closed to many, but to you it will always be open. Well, that sounds like I can come and go as I will. And I have a 10-year visa in my passport to confirm that. And he always makes a way. And I expect it's not a one-way street. Because if the door is open, when it's an open door, that means you can go, you can come. You can go, you can come. But it says you'll be blessed. So when you take that stand, and it's about trust also. We have to trust that God's word is true, that he's going to care for us. Like Marjorie said, he's got our back. He'll pull us through. Sometimes people might think you're being pulled through a knothole. You know, you come out like a string of spaghetti at the other side of the hole kind of thing sometimes. But it's our attitude during those times. What's in our heart? What's in our motives? Those are the things that God is concerned about. But he said not to fear them. I don't know how many of you fear sharing your testimony of what Christ did in your life. That's none of my business. My business is knowing whether I am or not. Because each of us, when you read scriptures like this, only you can be the judge of that. But it's a call to stand strong. It's a call to not give up. It's a call not to give in spite of opposition. I don't ever recall the gospel being very friendly, people friendly, except for the people who recognize who Jesus is and what he was capable of doing in your life. If you have a need and a person can't fill that. But he said, have no fear of them and nor be troubled, but in your hearts reverence Christ as Lord. Anyone can be convinced or talked out of something or change your mind about something. But only God can change the heart. We can't change our own heart. That's why no man can save himself. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that's in you. That's very interesting the way that's written, because Peter's already coming from the place of each one of you as believers has a living hope within you. And there are going to be people that come along in your life that are going to ask you about it. And I have always noticed it's better to have that happen than to simply just burst upon somebody and share that hope before you even know anything about the person. So this is nice when people come to us and ask us. But it also says, do it with gentleness and reverence or respect for the person. And sometimes zealousness or our zeal can get ahead of believing God to make a way, a gateway into a person's life, like the man with the songs. He didn't get out his Bible and beat you up with it, but he shared things that the Holy Spirit used to touch your heart, which ultimately manifest in your salvation. And I really believe that we can learn a lot and be more effective if we're not so silent about why should we be people of hope. Look around you, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. That's their perspective. But without Christ it is. But you see, each of us already has that hope within us. We have His Word. We have His promises. We have His Spirit. We have a wonderful family worldwide, the family of God. And we have each other. So, that living hope is Christ, the hope of glory, or our glorious hope. We have the knowledge that no matter how bad it gets, if you read all the way to the end of the book, you can only come to one conclusion. We win. And with that in mind, that's very helpful to help get through a bad hair day. It don't matter how bad the hair day is, the fact of the matter is we win. And make it on a daily level. Don't just be thinking way out there. You can win today, no matter what obstacles come your way, no matter how difficult it might seem. Don't let it overshadow that living hope that each of you have within you. And let your light shine. I don't like that "let this little light shine." Nah, it's a big, beautiful spotlight. It's a halogen, at least a 500 watt halogen bulb shining in each life as a believer. There's a light that can never be extinguished. And you carry that. So when you read Peter's letters, and he talked about do it with gentleness, gentleness is, you know what gentle is. Don't try to exalt ourselves over someone else in zeal and crush them before they ever have a chance to open their mouth and speak. Sometimes I found that it's just better to have the opportunity to get to know a person and let them see your values reflected in your life. The restaurant, Barb, is another example. How for all those times you sat there, we can talk about this because we're all family, we know these things, but people started coming to you after a while because you went there and you weren't ashamed. And going out in public, there's no better place than to proclaim the name of Jesus. Gosh, He's everywhere. He's everywhere we go. And we bring Him with us. So bring Him along. Invite Him to be a part of your huggy break. And just share His love with each other for a few minutes. I know handshakes are good, but hugs are good too. I have a word I believe that's from the Lord, and I didn't want to do it. I squirmed in the corner. It had to do with the words of this last worship song. And I heard the Lord specifically like speak and say, "Help me," meaning Him, "now You are near." That's all I have to say about that. The Lord speaking to us, help me, Him, "now You are near." Yes. Thank you. Because there are people that are going to come that are going to draw on the oil that you have. Or like Isaiah said about drawing water from the wells of salvation, when you're filled with His Spirit, you're filled with His goodness, you're filled with His grace, you're filled with His mercy, You're filled with His love. You're filled with His kindness. You're filled with His knowledge. You're filled with His wisdom. You're filled with His power. You're filled with His glory. You're filled with Him. That's the well. You're the well, and within it there is an ever-springing water source inside of you. So you, the scriptures use oil, but it uses water as well to represent the Holy Spirit. And so when others come to draw water, it says, let them draw water from the well of salvation. Each one of you is a well, and there's a water supply that's going to meet the needs that there's no other way to meet those needs. It's going to come from that wellspring of life that's inside of each believer. And people are going to be drawn to you. They're going to seek you out, or you'll be noticed in a crowd like there's something different about you. And they're going to be hungry, and they're going to be thirsty, and they're going to want what you have. But they were told, no, just leave those people alone. They're radical. They're bigoted. They're racist. They're going to say a lot of things, but there are going to be people that are going to raise up from amongst all of them, that are going to recognize their hurt, they're going to recognize their need, they're going to recognize their thirst, and they're going to recognize their hunger, and it ain't going to be for another Big Mac. It's going to be Big King. Not Burger King. Amen. Thank you for adding a little humor to a prophecy. But it's true. You just watch and see. Well, as often happens, I find I bring a nice script ready to share with you, and then suddenly, ever had that happen, Dave? And then suddenly, Philippians 1:6. I'm not even going to ask why. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to talk a little bit about that. Being confident. Are you confident that God is still working in your lives? Are you confident there are things that only He can do as long as we let Him? Because He doesn't force our will. Are you confident of what He sees as an image that He's working on in our lives to make us more like Him? And it says of this very thing. That's very specific. This very thing. This fact. This truth. We haven't arrived. And we ought not to act like we have yet. Because we're not there. We're on our way. But if it's going to take until the day of Jesus Christ for God to complete that work in us, probably some of us would hope, oh good, I hope it's by noon. So I don't have to keep waiting for the changes that He's doing in our lives. And sometimes we try to hurry it along in somebody else's life. Will you get with it? Will you hurry up? Well, what about ours? Are we hurrying to make that happen for us? Or do we forget that it's He that's doing the work? Because if we could have done the work, it would have been all of us on the cross instead of Jesus. Actually, the truth of the matter is we all were on the cross with Him in our sinful nature that He died for and was crucified for. But being confident, and I really liked the new song today, because so many times people think we've blown it. We've gone too far. We're in a place that God can't get. We're in a place that He can't fix. We're in bondage that He can't break. We're borderline despair that He can't make a difference. We're borderline thinking that, well, He's too busy. for me. I don't know how he does it, but he's God, and I just know he does. And he's never too busy for you. He's never too busy for me. I don't know what it would be like for God to be busy. I know that he created everything and then he rested. So I don't know how he'd be too busy for you, or for me, or for anyone else. And he's as close as the mention of his name. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And even in times we might have struggled financially. I don't really like to use the word struggled because it indicates the honesty of recognizing areas in our lives that we're willing to admit that we're weak in some areas and that we really need him in our lives to make that difference. And all I can say is, as far as I know, to the best of my knowledge and to the best of my ability and understanding, he's available. He's available to every one of us. And notice it says, he began a good work. That's so comforting to know that when we recognize that God is good and he's good all the time, and Callie can refresh us from time to time, and I can hardly wait for her to come the next time and tell us all that God is good all the time, that anything that God does in our life is good. Yes, Ken. Amen, that's right. Yes. When we look at where we were when he found us and see where we are today, oh, we could all see growth and be really excited and encouraged by that, but not come to the place of complacency and make the mistake of just taking it all for granted and lose that thankfulness of everything that you realize you couldn't do before, you can now in him. All the things you worried about, but now you realize that he's bigger than anything you could worry about. And after you've given it to him, why worry? I think of, now I'm revealing my age, but I used to read Mad magazines from time to time, sometimes ago. And what? Me worry? Remember that on the cover? What? Me worry? And it was like, this guy's mad. He's out of his mind. There's so many things to worry about, and he chooses not to worry. Because worry is a choice. Did you know that? Worry is a choice. When you're given the evidence, when you're given the answers, and they're all available to us, why would we choose to worry? Oh, thank you. I don't see that when I'm playing. I have to have that pointed out to me. Worry ends where faith begins. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have whatsoever thing that you say. And the good work that God is doing in our lives is, it's his plan, it's his vision, it's his creation, it's his purpose. It's his by his design. And he doesn't make us run through a little maze in a zoo someplace, and when you get out of line you get one of those electric cattle prods and boy, I really wanted to do that to you, you little rascal. And he leads us by his Spirit, and that work that he's doing is because the Spirit has a creative working power. And we're talking on the theme of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be doing more of that, but to recognize and know that he's not, unless I didn't dust that spider out of the cobweb back in the corner, sorry, Holy Spirit, I thought that was a spider up there. Jeez. No, he's not an it. He lives within us. And there's some craftsmen in the house. I think of Bill, I think of Brad, and all the wonderful things that God has gifted you to build with your hands, and the pride and the joy that you get and doing your absolute best to make it the best for your clients or your customers, your reputation, your business name's on the line, and how you strive to do that. Think of the pleasure that God takes in the good work that He's doing inside of each one of us. I can't imagine Him saying, "Oh crap, I botched that one. We'll have to make a new one." His work isn't like that. What He began, I don't think anything in the Scriptures God ever had a plan of not completing it. And so that's the confidence that we have, that wherever we are in our faith walk, we're all in this walk together. And the work that He's doing in our lives is a work that He performs. And remember what He said about that. Whatever word that He's sown in us, He says He watches over that word to perform it. So when He says that He's working a good work in our lives and He'll continue that, that shows me that He didn't get so far with one of us or two of us, because we weren't here last Thursday and He changed His mind. You know, they do call Him the Ancient of Days. And people in Ancient of Days, they kind of forget and lose their way through life. But God's not like that. If He gave you a promise that He's working in your life a good work, and He's going to continue it, that should be really good news today, because He's not giving up. You haven't gone too far. He's not quitting. He's in it for the long haul. Look at what He was willing to pay for your life. Do you think that was for nothing? It wasn't, was it? No. He was in it for you. Collectively and individually. And I'm so glad I'm part of the us, or part of the we. I'm the you. If He was speaking to me, He'd say, "Rick, you can be confident of this very thing, that I, who have begun a good work in you, will continue it until the return of my Son, Jesus Christ." See, when you take His word and you make it personal, that's His promise to you. And start reading these promises like that. I can challenge you today to do that. It's absolutely going to change the way you see yourself and the way you see others that God is working in. You'll find that you won't be so quick to be judgmental, lay aside a critical spirit, and come to realize that each life is a work in progress. And don't be harsh on people. Be kind and be gentle. Because my Bible says that the kindness of God leads us to repentance. The goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance, not the severity. He was severe. When He put His Son on the cross, that was severe. But that was done out of love. I know that's a lot in a little verse, but we read it very quickly sometimes, and I like to see there's a bigger picture of what's going on here. He will perform it. That's, you can't argue with that. If you do, you're just wasting your breath. That's why I never ask God why about anything. He's always right. That's a waste of time. Why not just accept what He said and deal with it? Amen? He's always right. Someone brought up the importance in asking about praying for the children. It was after you shared Callie's testimony. And I didn't pray then, and I almost forgot it. She's the age that a lot of us, our grandchildren, are. Some of you have older grandchildren, but those of us who started late in life, our grandchildren are still young and reachable. So let's pray for our children or our grandchildren, and then for any needs that you may have. Father, we thank you today. It's absolutely true. You never give up on anyone. You have a passion for the lost, and it was demonstrated at the cross. And we pray, Lord, for the little ones, the little children that are so innocent and so easily deceived with candy and lies, because they're not allowed to know the truth in some of the circles they walk in. Father, we pray for a revival to break forth in our youth. They will put aside the iPhones and the iPads and their video games and their phones and come to realize their hope is not in those things. It's not that they're bad, but that they take your place sometimes. We pray, Father, for an opening in the public schools again, for your word to be able to flow more freely. It is not illegal. It is still protected under our Constitution. But we know for a fact that it is not encouraged. Pressure is exerted from the administration not to be caught in school with the Bible, not to share your faith. Don't bring up God in any public events or announcements or graduations or baccalaureates or addresses to the students. It's no wonder, Father, that they're where they are. We pray, Father, that you will have access again, because the problem isn't so much the children. The problem is you're not welcome in the realm that they live in many instances. And we pray that a revival will start in the hearts of the little ones, even if it's Sunday school class or vacation Bible school. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for stirring them. And each one that's bold as Callie, we pray for all those, Father, that Callie has interactions with, and that people will be drawn to her. And in the innocence of her faith, the day she wrote the little letter about how much she loves you and wrote it and said it publicly. Father, thank you for her witness. And thank you that that be multiplied a millionfold all across this nation and the world. I like to think big, because you're bigger than anything I can think. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you keep them. Thank you that you keep a hedge of protection around their minds that start out so innocent. Thank you for putting people in their lives that will be guards and protectors of them, that will be a good influence in their lives, role models that they will have to look up to, and not the likes of Hollywood. Thank you that heroes of the Bible will once again take their rightful place, and it won't be heroes on the silver screen or on Broadway. There will be people right in these kids' lives that they will be able to look to. Thank you for putting fathers and mothers in the faith into their lives. and the grandfathers and the grandmothers of faith. Thank you that family communications open up and bridge that generational gap and help the different generations better understand each other. That we don't just chuck them off in a box someplace. Well, I don't know how to deal with them, so I'm not going to do anything. No, send them to us, Father. You'll show us what to do. You'll show us how to teach them. For you're the greatest teacher of all. And you're the chief physician, too. And we thank you. Thank you for healing the wounds that go deep in our nation, the wounds that go deep in our culture and society. Thank you that Jesus Christ has always been the answer. He is the answer, and He always will be. And we thank you for boldness and confidence, as we read in the scripture this morning, that word confidence, that our confidence is not in ourselves, our confidence is in you. And we thank you that not one of your precious promises has ever failed, and it never will. And Father, as we prepare to pray for others who have prayer needs, we thank you that we can all come to that place and release our faith together for those among us who have needs. Because we know the one in whom we're calling upon. We know the one in whom we're bringing our petitions to. And we know that you keep your word and you keep your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.